Friends, this evening we want to spend the time in prayer. Once a month we seek to have a dedicated season of seeking the Lord in our midweek meeting. But I want us briefly to look at this passage before us from Genesis chapter 32. Here is Jacob wrestling with the Lord. And as one reads through Genesis and comes to this chapter, the question of just who this is that Jacob wrestled with is what grabs the reader's attention. And it has been much discussed. But the more one reads the account and pays attention to details, there really can be no mistake about it. The first remark about Jacob's wrestling, this person, this man, the opponent, is mentioned in verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. So he was by himself. He didn't go after the man. The man came after him. And there wrestled the man with him until the breaking of the day. So there is the first mention of this man. It says, there wrestled a man with him. But in verse 28, if you read verse 28, you see that how the man tells Jacob, as a prince hast thou power with God. As a prince hast thou power with God and hast prevailed. You have won. You have power with God and you have won. Won over who? Who has he prevailed? And as if that was not clear enough, when Jacob requests in verse 29, tell me, he says, I pray thee thy name. And what do we read? And he said, wherefore, why is it that thou dost ask after my name? And the response of that, the response is, and he blessed him there. So that's it. The blessing comes from the Lord, and that is interesting. This person blesses Jacob. And so no wonder he rightly concluded in verse 30. So this is the conclusion. We are not reading into the text. This is the conclusion of Jacob in verse 30. He says, I have seen God face to face. And you see, my friends, Jacob is not corrected there. God doesn't correct him. No one corrects him about this matter because he's right. He has met God face to face. It is truth. He has encountered the living God. And most will call this kind of appearances the pre-incarnate appearances of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there are, of course, several of these appearances in the scriptures. You have notably the meeting with Abraham, that Abraham bows before one of the angels in Genesis chapter 18, and he calls that angel Lord, Jehovah. And another is one of Samson's parents in Judges 13. And clearly, friends, this is a moment of key importance in the life of Jacob. It is a key importance in the life of the nation of Israel, because that nation is given its name, Israel. But what is the point for us of this strange account being recorded? What's the point of it for us? What's the application of it? And to our view, this seems to be a most unusual way for God to convey a lesson to one of his people. But the point appears to be that by this incident, the Lord encourages us to fervently seek him. There is the lesson of fervency in seeking the face of God, a fervency that will not cease, will not stop calling upon him until you have been blessed. That's the lesson here. And so this account begins with that, what appears to be the Lord physically assaulting him. It's the Lord who goes after him in verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the break of the day. So there is this wrestling, this fight that takes place. But before long, The tables are turned, as it were, and it is the Lord who let them turn. Not that Jacob had power over God in the sense that he was stronger than the Lord. No, the Lord let him. He cried out to Jacob, "Let me go," in verse 26. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And do you see what we see here? Here we see a wonderful condescension of God, who is being wrestled with. Say, a mere man. To a mere man, he's wrestling, and yet he's condescending to his level. This is what it is when we come before the Lord. The Lord condescends to our level. He comes down to us. You draw nigh to God, and the scripture says, does he go far further from you? No, he draws nigh to you as well. He draws near to you. With some people, you go near to them and they are repelled by you. They don't want to talk to you. Not with the Lord. Are we to believe that God cannot break the grip of this man? Well, friends, much goes unsaid in the account here, but this much is also clear. Jacob comes to understand at some point in the wrestling that he has something to gain from staying at it. There is something that he could gain, a blessing that he could have if he continues on. And so he refuses to let him go when he's told, and he's insisting. He says, "I will not let thee go except or until thou bless me. I'm not going to let you go." Friends, Jacob didn't start this, but now he is unwilling to let it be finished, not until he gains something from it. My friends, our prayers are not said in vain. We are not here for nothing. We are here to wrestle with God and get his token of blessing. And he receives the blessing that he sought in verse 29. And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. That's the place where he's talking with the Lord. When he's asking him for things, there comes the blessing. But what was it exactly? We are not told what was the blessing. Some will say that he was praying that God would be merciful to him in his coming encounter with his brother, or estranged brother, we could say, Esau. He was fearful, of course. He was already sent things forward for Esau, and it could have been that. And I'm sure this was very much heavy upon his heart at this point, and he had no doubt spent time seeking God in prayer about it. But still, it is not mentioned here. What we should give weight to is what Jacob's conclusion was then, that he looked back on this incident, and decidedly he looked back on this incident at some point. And it dawned on Jacob that one battling him was no mere man. He comes to realize this later on. That wasn't a mere man that I was wrestling. But it was God. I saw God face to face. And that was something, that something was taking place which was intended to test his perseverance, so that he would not let go. So he's encouraged to give up. The Lord says, "Give up. Give up. Stop what you're doing." And he won't let go. The day is breaking. I have to go. I have business to attend. But he won't let go. His thigh dislocated in the fight, But he won't let go. See, my friends, you may be tired, you may be exhausted, all sorts of things can happen to you. That's the natural things of life. It's nothing special about you, it's nothing special about me. You go through your life and it's not easy, it is hard. But what are you going to do? Easily find the easiest way? No. You carry on with God. You wrestle with the Lord. Don't let him go until he blesses you. There are always good reasons for us to give up and stop. Here was a man whose thigh was dislocated. Here was a man whose God was telling him to let him go. And he won't give up. What would you do in that situation? How weak we are in the state that we are living in. These are the days of sad states that Christians are in our day. We easily give up. We easily find ways out when we reason with it. We have our reasons why we can't do certain things, why we can't read our Bibles, why we can't pray, why we can't give time to serve the Lord, why we can't gather together. Ask yourself, genuinely, are we living in times of revival when your soul is on fire for God? When you were converted, we would do anything for the Lord. We would go anywhere for the Lord. But now we are ready to give up. I'm speaking to myself as well. Jacob won't let go. He won't give up. And what is his conclusion? Because I've met with God. I've met with the Lord. That's the point. The issue for us is, are we meeting with God? Are we having genuine fellowship and communion with the Lord or not? If we are meeting with God, then our response would be similar. Our issue is that we are spending so little time, and we think the Lord should meet with us in our 5 minutes and in our 2 minutes and in our times that we don't actually sacrifice anything for the Lord. So a struggle has been used to illustrate the reality that when God involves himself in your life, even when it is painful encounter, this was a painful encounter and God did it. When you feel that things are very severe in your life, and the Lord even has sent it, don't conclude that it is all over. Don't conclude then that that's it. I will have to give up. Look at what the Lord has done. He's taken away this, he's taken away that, and he's added these issues in my life. Well, in that situation, you ought to cling to him even more than ever. You cling to him even in severity. Hang on to him, even when you sense that he is dealing with you in judgment. My friends, Jacob was a bad man. He wasn't a good man. He was experiencing the results of his own sinful lifestyle and behavior. He was a supplanter. He was a liar. And he was experiencing God's chastisement. But friends, that you may feel under that, under God's chastisement, and you may feel barren and cold and dead. But that should only compel you to seek him all the more earnestly and not let him go until he blesses you. He will bless you. And so as we are gathered together and will gather in future times of prayer, consider this. Think about this. What trials has taken you as a group of people corporately? Whatever trial, whatever challenges take us, the Lord take us through those things. Have you chosen to interpret those only as his heavy hand upon your life personally and upon the life of this congregation? Or can you see in these matters a compelling call from the Spirit of God to seek him through these trials, to seek him through these hardships, and to wait and see what mercies will follow, what blessings would follow. So from this point on, Jacob was a changed. His name was changed. He was now a prince. And it was the Lord who changed him in this encounter. So he gives him a new name, Prince with God. That's what Israel means. One who has striven with God as a prince. That's what it says there. Not someone who argued with God, not someone who disputed with God, not someone who didn't believe the Lord. No. He fought to gain the blessing, even out of this harsh and austere moments. And we don't find Jacob that we saw earlier in Genesis. We look at his life earlier in Genesis. He's now a changed man. The scheming, the conniving person who deceives, who wants to find the short ways out of situations. He cuts corners. No, rather we find a man who's now been humbled by faith. Friends, we can't be blessed with greater likeness to God. We can't be blessed with intimacy with God or have a stronger faith in God without intentional close encounters with God. And that's why we meet like this. It's an intentional close encounters with God. The New Testament church met together with one accord to pray, with one mind to pray. That was one of the things that marked the Christian church. If we are not seen gathering together in prayer, we are not resembling the New Testament church. And in these times, you will learn to know him and to more fully receive the blessings of his will. He will bless those who seek him earnestly. And my friends, you can sit in a prayer meeting and not commune with the Lord. You can sit in a prayer meeting and not wrestle with God. Just watch others wrestling. No. We are wrestling together. We are as one body, wrestling together. So don't let your minds wander. Don't go out of this place unblessed. Don't leave this place and think, so-and-so prayed, but I never prayed. Meaning, I'm not talking about audible prayers. I'm talking about wrestling in your heart, listening and agreeing with those who lead the congregation and wrestling with them, siding with them, being, as it were, on the same line, fighting the battle. So be encouraged. Be expecting that God will bless. Expect, have faith that the Lord will hear you. But let us be earnest. Let us be fervent. Prayer. May God then bless these few thoughts to us.